Tate family, we're now joined by 11-year NFL vet, Super Bowl champ, Golden Tate. Golden, what's up, baby?
What's happening?
How you living, my guy? How you living?
I'm great. Just dad life and pickleballing and talking football.
Pickleballing, okay.
And talking football. Well, let's talk a little bit of football because there were so many preseason games over the weekend. And right now, we want to talk about some of the players that changed uniforms this offseason on a new team and have us thinking about the best new faces in new places. I'm kicking it off because the one player that caught the most attention to me was Quentin Johnson of the Chargers. Now, if y'all know anything about Quentin Johnson, 6'4", 225 pounds out of TCU, I thought, oh, he might play outside. He's a little bit too big to be in the slot. But when I watched him in this preseason game, if he's able to play in the slot, plus Mike Williams, Keenan Allen on the outside, Justin Herbert should have a field day in this offense, especially with the addition of Kellen Moore. So my favorite new face in a new place off the weekend is that dude, Quentin Johnson, an absolute stud out of TCU, unanimous All-American, bona fide dude. Tate, you played wide receiver. What did you make of Quentin Johnson? What do you make of Quentin Johnson with the Chargers?
I truly cannot believe how much this 6'4 guy has wiggle. Yeah. He dang near got more wiggle than I had. I mean, his hips are nice. And so we saw him run a route where he just created separation when he really wasn't in a winning position. And you can bet that Kellen Moore is taking notes. And you're going to have Keenan, Mike, and QJ on the same field. And they all tall. Watch out.
2-5.
Look, tap the head. Let's get it. I'm going with DeAndre Swift from the Philadelphia Eagles. Ooh. I'm not being biased. Listen. When he got drafted, I said, this kid has top five talent. He's quick. He's explosive. He'll run you over. He'll run around you. And he has speed. Look at this move right. Look at this move right here. He showed us some Shady McCoy crazy work, feet work right there.
Yep.
And then it's not his career. First of all, he's playing with the best offensive line in football. I had a conversation with Deuce Staley over the weekend, and we were talking about Miles Sanders and et cetera, about the running game. And he was saying he couldn't really judge him because the holes were so big for the Eagles last year.
Great point.
You put Swift with that offensive line, and he's been averaging 5.5 yards per carry last year. And think about this. In a passing game, he's averaged 50 catches a year. So you can catch the ball, you can run the ball, and he can block.
Shady.
1,500 yards, all-purpose. I'm calling out right now, today.
I saw that.
Let's
you
get
made
it.
That prediction on Twitter.
Come on.
Swift going for 1,500 total. I've gone on record saying he's the most talented running back since the Eagles had you on the roster. I think he's more talented than any running back since.
And I would say this, to be honest, he is more, when I say this, people won't think I'm crazy, but more versatile than I was because I wasn't going to put my head in there all the time. Yeah, yeah. You know, oh, whoa. If it's fourth down, fourth and one, third down, I'm going
to
do that. Second and eight? Oh, whoa, you got me. Next play.
There's no need.
You think he can be the, it's hard to say missing piece for the Eagles because the Eagles had so many great pieces.
See that
and
move?
Miles Sanders had 1,200 yards last year. But what do you think Swift can bring the Eagles offense that they lacked last year?
First of all, he has to stay healthy. That's been his issue, being healthy. But I just think that with the RPOs, with Jalen Hurts, right?
Run pass options.
That's hard to judge. It's hard to cover and to defend. And then I think with Swift, is I told you before, he can do everything. You don't have to take him out of the game. I know they want to use Penny to kind of keep them both healthy, but Swift could do it himself. And if knowing that, that's what makes him so special for this offense to keep going forward.
So I've been on him for a little while coming into the season. Obviously, he seems to be the best quarterback in the division, but Derek Carr had a really
He balled out.
He looked like a franchise quarterback. That's what a veteran quarterback should look like in the preseason. Very decisive, committed, 6 for 8, 70 yards, averaging 8.8 yards per throw, touchdown, no interceptions, 140 rating. That looks like how he should look. Mm-hmm. He looks comfortable. He looks decisive. That's what I wanted to see from him. Now, look, I don't like to get too much into, like, the chip in the shoulder thing. Like, okay, it's wonderful to have a chip on your shoulder. It's very special. Keep it there, pet it, water it, whatever you need to do. But you also need to be able to play with the chip on the shoulder. Like, let that supplement your play. It can't be the only thing that you have going for you. And, look, he was a little hurt, you know? He went through a little thing, and he looked down. I think they could easily win the division. If he looks like that throughout the season, just also, you look around that division, a lot of question marks, a lot of young guys, a lot of big transitions. So I liked what I saw from Derek Carr.
He looked very comfortable.
Yes. I liked it.
That was the biggest thing to me. Like, some quarterbacks, and we'll talk more about them later, just look surprised when they were going up against defenses. He looked comfortable. Now, Tate, you played with, obviously, Russ. You played with Stafford. You played with Wentz. You played with Daniel Jones. When you think about Derek Carr, how do you grade him as caliber quarterback? He's only been to one playoff game, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And though he led his team to two, remember he got hurt in that one season. How do you grade Derek Carr based off ability and how far he can take?
That's a hard one because I think he's a good quarterback, but I think his situation he was in before this year was a little sketchy a lot of the times. And you see him make some incredible plays, and then you see him make some plays like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Now, him in New Orleans, baby. Okay. If I'm Mike Thomas and Olave, I am running extra gassers and doing extra conditioning because he is going to air the ball out.
Yep, that's true.
And that is what New Orleans has been lacking, in my opinion, for a while now. And so I cannot wait to see. I think this is the perfect situation for Derek to be in.
Speaking of airing the ball out, who was your favorite face in a new place? I think you had a receiver, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Who you got?
Calvin Ridley.
Oh, he's a beast.
You hear a lot about that name.
Calvin Ridley's a beast.
Oh, I cannot wait. You're this beast. Guy in college was a baller.
Yep,
yes,
absolutely.
He was. Yes,
and,
he was.
And in Atlanta was a baller. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a guy that is fast and looks fast. Oh. His explosion is incredible. And he gets in and out of his breaks very nicely. I'm talking about, you might be thinking he's running a go, up, come back.
Gifted. Mm-hmm.
You might be thinking he's running a slant and go. But his stagger step and his jab step is what separates him, in my opinion. He could be running full speed at you, and you think, oh, he about to run a go, and he going to give you that one step like I'm running a go, cross your face, and be gone. Yeah.
Calvin Ridley's a beast. No. Listen, he can't bet. I can bet. I'm betting on him. I'm betting on him. He'll have a great year this year because he's a
Air
beast.
Man,
he's a beast.
For context, Calvin Ridley suspended 1 year for gambling. Yeah. Hey, Calvin Ridley had over 1,300 yards a year before his suspension.
Mm.
And he had some mental health issues. He had to sit. Mm-hmm. Where do you think Calvin Ridley will pop off this year? You think a 1,300-yard season, a 1,000-yard season, a 1,500-yard season with Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence, where will he fall in that wide receiver ledger? Top five? Top 10? What should we expect?
I think his ceiling is very high.
Yeah.
My only question is if he's going to be a little rusty weeks 1 through 3.
Right.
But after 1 through 3, that boy is full go. He's gone. You put Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence? Yeah. And I think Trevor Lawrence, third year.
Receivers love Calvin Ridley.
Look, I'm betting all overs. I'm taking him in fantasy.
All the chips, let's go. Because he can do everything. I mean, like you say, he's fast. He can run routes. He sells everything. Is he a deep ball? Oh, it's a stop. Like, he does everything. And after the catch, when I watched him play in Atlanta and I was with the Bucks, I'm like, yo, who that? I mean, I knew him, but I didn't know he was that. And every receiver that talks about the Alabama wide receivers, they always put him in there for a reason. So I love Calvin Ridley.
No doubt about that.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. We are bringing you the best college football analysis every week. Any questions? Then send them into the Joel Klatt Show mailbag. Follow the Joel Klatt Show on the Fox Sports app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, family? Okay, week one of the NFL preseason is officially in the books. Plenty of players looking to prove themselves. So we have to start with our biggest winners of the weekend, then we will give you our biggest losers. When I think about everybody who won on the weekend, y'all saw the board. Justin Fields was my biggest winner, and it wasn't necessarily because of what he did, but he's the biggest winner because now he finally has won due to the talent around him. You got DJ Moore taking screens to the crib. You got Khalil Herbert taking screens to the crib. Now Justin's evasiveness and his elusiveness, it will finally come to fruition, if you will. Last year, Justin Fields was scrambling. He had to do it all by himself. But now Justin Fields actually realizes, oh, I have help out there. Bucky, when you watch Fields play, what was your biggest kind of takeaway?
Oh, look, I love that he finally has the support. Because he should have been a guy that we've talked about. Like, they took Trey Lance over him. They took Zach Wilson over him. He should have been the guy that came off the board right behind Trevor Lawrence. Now he has the opportunity to show that he's more than just a runner. I'm excited about what's going on in Chicago.
Joy, biggest winner for you.
I've never seen a bunch of men that are so excited about 2 yard passes, 1 yard passes. I'm sorry.
It matters.
The whole time Bucky's talking. All right, I'm gonna get my composure.
Oh my God.
My week one preseason winner, we're doing television, is the Saints. Derek Carr looked great. This is a very winnable division. He's clearly the best quarterback in the division. You got Baker Mayfield, you have a rookie in Bryce Young and Desmond Ridder. Keep in mind, Saints defense was very good last year.
Mm-hmm.
They were top five in several categories, total defense, fifth in total defense, second in passing defense, and fifth in defensive sacks. They have Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas. They have all these weapons, and Derek Carr looked poised, confident, precision, excited. That's what I want to see from a starting quarterback that's a veteran. So I think the Saints are the preseason.
I think the Saints can go far. Yeah.
Derrick looked good.
Derrick did look good. And like Joyce said, not only do the Saints have talent on defense, but their roster is very veteran. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, they're veteran good, not veteran elite. Mm-hmm. But like Cam Jordan, he's a fringe Hall of Famer. Yep. I think he'll get in. Right. Marshawn Lattimore, haven't forgotten about him. Demario Davis, a linebacker, he came to the National Football League with me. That's how long he's been playing ball. Ty Matthew on the back end safety. Yep. So you got a veteran rusher, you got a veteran backer, a veteran corner, a veteran safety, and you got Derek Carr, a veteran quarterback leading the team. Like, I think there's
I think Mike Thomas, I think he gets him back in the groove.
I hope so. 2-5 right, biggest
here we go.
Season winner.
I hate to do it, but I gotta do it. I'm going to Dallas to get mines.
Oh yeah.
Deuce Vaughn.
Deuce on the loose.
Deuce did his thing. I'm like, who this little dude? He's running and shaking. I watched him at Kansas State, and I wasn't sure if it could translate to the league. You know, he's smaller dude, but you know, he get like the ball a lot. Can he do this in the NFL? Sure enough, watched him. He looked good. Jump cuts, making guys miss, reading the blocks. He had a great vision. I didn't know how good his vision was, and he showed me in the preseason game against the Jaguars. And it's funny, I had to call Sproles. Now, I'm like, what other 5'5 or 5'6 guy I could call, right? Darren Sproles, I called him. I say, what do you think about Deuce Vaughn? He said, listen,
that
little dude is nice. Yeah. I can't wait to see him in the passing game. He looked great in the running game. You put him in the pass, sprinkle in there. Pollard goes out, needs a breather, needs some water. You put Deuce in there, and he held it down. So I'm super excited for him, man. And that team is so explosive. I hate to say it because you know what it is with your boy inside that green.
Yeah. Yep.
But I'm keeping it honest.
It'll be fascinating because Sproles would text me, Darren Sproles, 15-year NFL veteran, former teammate of Shady and I. He would text me all the time during Deuce Vaughn's college games, like, hey, this dude is nice, man. He was just as good as me in college. But Sproles was a returner is how he got his start in the league. Deuce Vaughn, not so much a returner. So Deuce is really going to have to excel in the running back room. But like Shady said, Ezekiel Elliott, he just signed with the Patriots. He ain't coming back. Yeah. Rojo, he suspended the first two games.
All the
Cowboys have is Tony Pollard coming off a broken leg. There is space there for Deuce Vaughn to maybe get that RB2 slot. We'll see what happens.
Only issue I have with Deuce, I got to be honest, is that 42 is ugly.
Yeah, it's not.
Ask for 25, you know what I mean? 25, 20, or he probably got 20. Something else to 42. That's 42. Like, it looked big, too. Like,
he's little. They just gave it to him. The crib man just threw it over there.
This is not the longest yard. They got a better jersey for him than that. Come on now. Stop playing.
Bucky, who is your
favorite? So I feel like Shady and I are kindred spirits. Like, we're flipping. So now I'm going to go to the Eagles and talk about Jalen Carter and how impressive I was with him because in the draft.
First play.
Everybody's like, oh, we can't take him. We don't know about the character, whatever. But then quickly, he reminded us why he should have been the number one overall pick. You saw the size. You saw the dominance. And the one thing that the Eagles have always done, they invest in the front line, offensive and defensive line. They have it. It looks like they found another one, and they surrounded him with his old Georgia boys. It could be a problem. Could be a problem for a lot of people.
It looks good.
Because he is legit.
Well, speaking of lines, when I talk about my biggest loser from preseason week one, it's got to be the Broncos offensive line.
Yeah, they had
Russell Wilson scrambling the entirety of the game. Like, when I really think about the Broncos O-line, they're what might hold the Broncos back. Russell Wilson, I think he'll get back right. Sean Payton, I think he'll have them dudes right. Russell Wilson has to figure out Javonte Williams coming off a knee injury, Shady, if I'm not mistaken. It's coming off some sort of lower leg injury. So the Broncos offensive line was my biggest week one loser. Joy, who was yours?
I don't want this to become my theme this year, but I got to go with the 49ers. I mean, once again, Trey Lance doesn't look like he's got it yet. He was a huge investment for the Niners. Now, I understand they lucked into Brock Purdy. Don't talk to me about it. You lucked into him. He was the last pick in the draft. You get no credit for that whatsoever. It was God sent. Do not even talk to me about the intention of that pick. So Brock Purdy looked great when he got his opportunity, but I reserve the right to see what he looks like after this injury, during the regular season. I want to see a couple games from him. He's absolutely earned the starting job, no question about that. But I want to see what it all looks like. We know Trey Lance isn't going to be able to step into that if there's an injury. And if you want to pitch me on Sam Darnold, I have, I don't know, better things to do. So I think I was really hoping to see not Trey Lance step into this wow, like, oh, no, maybe he's going to compete for the starting position, but just look better than what we saw from him.
It didn't look great. It didn't look great. He has to get better. Maybe a little more time, a little more seasoning. Maybe he'll come along. That's the only
you really believe
race.
That? Because I don't believe.
I don't believe. I believe he is.
Like, you can slow cook too far. Right?
I mean, you can't. I don't believe he is what he is.
Bucky, as a scout, because you watch a lot of the college game, one of the best in the business at doing it. And I've talked to some Niners individuals, but I'm interested in your take. How do the Niners miss on a player like Trey Lance like that, in that capacity?
Well, I mean, I think what happens is you always want more, right? You think about the offense. You say, hey, I got Deebo. I got this. We put this guy in who can run around. And you saw he was doing it. North Dakota, he was getting busy. He was doing all that. But he was playing at a smaller school, different level of competition. Didn't play his final season. And so you're hoping that he would, because remember, Carson Wentz.
Same thing.
Carson Wentz had come out of there. And so there was some thought that maybe he would be like that. When Carson was playing well, it went sideways. But maybe they thought they could get that added dimension to the offense, kind of like when Kyle Shanahan had Robert Griffin. They were able to do some different things.
Very good point. 2-5, biggest loser for you off the week one.
Joey, she stole it. You stole my thunder. You stole my fire. I mean, when I watch Trey Lance, I can't see how they – I mean, I don't want to blame them, right? I hate to blame people, but somebody has to take some blame. There's no way you think that he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, what shows you that? Sometimes with, like, quarterbacks or players, it's something they do special. For me to take you in the first round – somebody that do special, I gotta go get him, right? When I look at him, there's nothing he does special. There's nothing he does exceptional. There's nothing he does good, right? I watched him read easy, simple reads, cover two reads, right? Right? The quarterback jumps on an out route. You got the seam, or not the seam, but you got the whole shot. You don't take like easy stuff. All his reads are like all delayed, simple reads. And I thought he was an athlete. They talked about how he can move a little bit. I watch him. I don't think he can run. So the loser for me is easily Trey Lance.
So let's park here for a moment, because Bucky, I haven't heard anything from you outside of your previous thought on Trey Lance. Let's park here before we go to break. Trey Lance, if you are the 49ers, what's your move with him? Because your hands are kind of tied at this point. Thankfully, you found a replacement in Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy should be the future. Trey Lance, though, it is evident, at least to me, right? His ankle has nothing to do with his mind. And at this point, for me, Trey Lance's mind does not process fast enough. So if you're the Niners, what's your move with him?
The only thing you can do is try and build back his confidence. There's nothing you can do, because right now the money prevents you from being able to move on from him. No one's going to trade for him.
Right.
So you're stuck with him. So you got to try and figure out a way to maybe build him up so maybe next preseason he can show us something. But there's nothing they can do. He's designated to be a game day inactive for the entire season. And you just hope that he can get some reps in practice that will enable him to be something next year.
What pick was that?
Three.
You trade up. Hold on for 1 second. This is real quick. Maybe because I'm a second round pick, I get mad about this, but you trade up to get him 2 first rounders and additional first rounder for that year, right? And then take him in 3rd pick, and now he's going to be inactive the whole year? And he's 20 something?
Yeah, probably 23.
Come on. Right?
10 more man guarantee.
Bro, I'm just saying, like, that ooh, like.
Why does it hurt you so hard?
Because, like, what are we doing here? Like, we killing him on TV because he looks so bad, which he deserves it. But the real blame should go to the front office of the Niners. I need them to step out and say, look, hey, man, we made a mistake, right? I don't want to hear about he can't grasp the offense. He's not focused. You know, it was reports last year he's in a strip club. I don't want to hear none of that. I need y'all, right, to say, hey, look, that's on us. We thought that this player from a smaller school could get it done. He looked good. He didn't play a lot of college ball. He didn't throw the ball a lot, but we thought that we could get something good with him, and we didn't. I need them to say that, because I don't want to keep every day killing Trey Lance. I'm a former player, and I love my players, but I got to do my job, and he looked awful, like god-awful. But it's not his fault, Acho.
It's not.
I don't think it's
he didn't ask to be picked in the 3rd pick.
I don't think it's his fault either, because where he was picked and what they used to get him is what created the expectations. Expectations breed disappointment. So if he was drafted in the 3rd or 4th round, we wouldn't put him in this space.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to figure out, what made you think using that type of draft capital? It's one thing if you just took him at 3. Like, you have the 3rd pick, you take him at 3, okay, you're taking that's like a swing. They got naked on this swing. The helmet's falling off, the pads and stuff dripping over the base. Like, they went all out for a player that didn't even have a lot of experience. Like, to me, I'm willing to take that kind of risk for a player that's played at a big school, that's in an offense with a proven coach or system, that's been up against tougher competition, that has years of experience playing that position. That's why I don't really put this at the feet of Trey Lance. And unless Brock Purdy is truly the future, which sort of gives you an edge out of this, I don't really think so, because you still lost all that capital. These are not first-round picks. Like, I don't know. Whatever. If they win a Super Bowl, it doesn't matter. But to me, if they don't, I'm with you. It's not even about accountability. I keep looking at this situation. I feel like I'm crazy.
I don't blame them, no, Bucky. The reason is like, if they thought they had them one,
yeah,
you got to go get you one. And the reason I'm looking at Trey more than I'm looking at the Niners is the Niners quarterbacks, for the most part, all succeed, at least individually.
Right. Okay.
I think one of the statistics people talk least about, y'all remember the name Nick Mullins. Bucky, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken,
Mullins, yeah.
Nick Mullins, through his first 16 starts in San Francisco, threw for over 5,000 yards. Go Google it. Nick Mullins, through his first 16 starts, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. threw for over 4,000 or 5,000 yards. That's Nick Mullins. Jimmy G, y'all saw what Jimmy G did. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy, you saw what Brock Purdy did. So you have to believe that Trey Lance will just be able to come in with all of his talent and all of his ability,
will be able
to come in and do be competent.
But that's my question. Mm-hmm. And you're a scout. Talent exhibited where? He didn't even play his senior year. How many games did he even play?
So I think he maybe had, like, he has less than
20 or something like that.
No, not a lot.
College games?
That's what I'm saying.
You can take a swing if you thought you had one. If you thought you had one at Alabama or Clemson or Georgia or LSU, USC or Pitt. Yes, at Pitt.
Yeah.
But like, and it's not even about North Dakota State. I'm saying he didn't even have it. If he had 3 years starting at North Dakota State, okay. He played 19 games.
Yeah, I feel you on that. And he hasn't thrown for 20 passes in one game.
Like,
and
no wonder he looks like this.
And another thing is, like, so you really didn't need a quarterback, right? I hear everybody say, I mean, I'm not a big Jimmy G fan.
Hold on, but
they get places, though. The Niners, they win with what they got.
True, but remember what you said.
But hold on.
The Super Bowl.
But listen, every team probably said that. Every team said, hey, we want Jimmy G to throw the
ball. Correct.
But they won all the way up there.
And
it was a close game with us, the Niners and the Chiefs. But my thing is, like, you could have got that pick if you want to trade to get somebody mm-hmm. and got a really good, dominant player. With that pick, right? Parsons could have been one of them picks.
He,
not saying him, but I'm saying that value.
And well, at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is they don't miss it. Like, they just don't, because you found a quarterback in Brock Purdy who played last year.
I don't believe that. You don't at all?
They don't miss it.
So wait, so you're telling me that you trade these draft picks and you completely miss. Like, the course right here, you miss way over here, right? You tell me they're not going to think about that at all?
I'm just saying the Niners organization does not miss it. Remember 2012. Here's why I say that. 2012, my draft class, the former Redskins, current
Commanders.
They took Robert Griffin, number two overall.
Okay.
Remember, mm-hmm. Shanahan was there, America, which I don't know why I'm now just tying this together. Bucky, if you recall, they traded a lot for Robert Griffin. Now, Robert mm-hmm. Griffin in college was a dude that had to play him for 4 years. But they drafted Kirk Cousins in the fourth round. Kirk Cousins actually kept Washington Commanders stable once RG3 got hurt and no longer amounted to what we thought he was supposed to amount to. So people in Washington weren't like, oh, no, we don't have Robert. They're like, oh, well, still got Kirk. Kirk going for 4,900 yards.
And what did they do with Kirk? Franchise tagging like 15 times, tricked it off. They've been through like 20 quarterbacks since then, didn't win anything, and have now gone through three names and new ownership. Washington is an extremely poorly run organization. Maybe one of the worst in sports history.
Correct. Mm. But I'm simply saying.
And they didn't win anything. And the reason why I push back on saying that they don't miss these picks mm-hmm. is because until this is a fully formed success, meaning there's one of these on here, then yeah, you miss it. Because what do they compete? What do they have this insane roster for if you're not competing for a championship?
But they are competing for championships.
In spite of, I'm sorry.
Words are important. Speak. Winning one. Win a championship. And maybe they will this year, and then you'll be right. But to me, until you win a championship with this roster, with all this talent, you miss those picks, and you still don't have your future.
But the dilemma is all of these teams that traded up for picks, whether it was the Rams who acquired Jared Goff, however they acquired Goff, and all of these dudes who trade up for picks, mm-hmm. they don't win them either.
Like the Rams have a Super Bowl.
Correct, but not with the dude they traded, not
they
with
Goff. They also went to a Super Bowl.
But they didn't win it. The Niners went to a Super Bowl, too.
No. But we're talking about winning these joints.
But
what she's saying is, okay, yeah, listen, to correct a wrong is win a championship. And who did that? And I'm backing her up. Who did that? The Rams. So if you try to get Goff, however that might go, you trading, you win a championship, so it erases it. Yeah, we missed with him, but we got a championship. Ding, 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 ding.
And they stole Detroit's quarterback, sent Jared there, and won a Super Bowl with your man.
I'm sitting here thinking,
I got a ring with your man.
Yeah. If you're a 49ers fan, and you go to the NFC Championship game last year versus the Philadelphia Eagles and you lose, I just don't know how you can be that disappointed. Like, I just don't know how, I don't know how you
the
can.
The Niners are extremely well run. They compete every single year. They have a ton of talent. They have a great fan base. They're one of the best organizations in sports. But what I'm saying is, this is a loss to me unless you win a championship with this roster that's put this orb that we've been talking about. Unless you win a championship with it, you just like to compete at a high level. There's differences. There's levels. There's levels.
Heard that. Well, Anthony Richardson is about to find out very quickly the levels between college and the NFL. The Colts announced the number 4 overall pick in the last draft will be their starter. Huge mistake.
Let's go. Let's
or
go.
Huge success. Next.
Let's go.
On speed. About to get spicy.
Sure. Florida clap, huh?
Harper hits one in the air. Looks back. It goes. Harper, the swing of his life.
MLB playoffs are near, and you know what that means, Alex?
Yep. Flippin' Bats will be staying up late and having all the fun.
From breaking down the most important stories and games, nobody's done what he's doing. Nobody. Not even Babe Ruth.
To interviewing baseball's biggest stars.
I felt like I was pitching more stressed. I was trying to be so perfect.
No one covers America's pastime like us.
So as we sprint towards this year's World Series on Fox, please make sure to listen, follow, and subscribe to Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander and me, Alex Curry.
Baseball is fun. And so are we. We're going to have fun, dang it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, family, it's time for a pick six. Okay, a lot of great quarterback coach combinations. Remember, the key to a Super Bowl is not just about a coach. It's not just about a quarterback. It's about the combination of the two. So I'm going to take y'all through all of the land of the NFL and give y'all the top six coach quarterback combinations. Let's get number one out the way. We already know what that is. The Chiefs with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Boom, that is done. Now we're going to go from six down to two. At number six, Dallas Cowboys is where I'm going. Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott, 19-9 over the last two seasons. Think about what they have done collectively. Mike McCarthy has already won a Super Bowl individually. Dak Prescott, you know he is a top flight NFC quarterback talent. That combination land in my top six. At number five, Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence. Doug Peterson, he won a Super Bowl more recently than Mike McCarthy. Trevor Lawrence, he should be more talented than just about any other quarterback that I am going to name on this list. Won the AFC South last year, completely turned that organization around, went from worst to first. We'll see if they can duplicate it again. At number four, Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is an absolute stud, all pro, hard to do. I want to see just what Nick Sirianni will continue to grow and mature into. But early on in both of their careers, you've already seen them go to a Super Bowl. Incredible success. At number three, John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, a unanimous MVP, unanimously. John Harbaugh, he's been to a Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl. That combination, if Lamar can stay healthy, is lethal. At number two, Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor. Whenever Burrow is healthy, they are in the AFC Championship game. Y'all know that's a big deal. Only team better than them, only combo better than them. Mahomes, Andy Reid. James Jones.
Come on.
What up, baby?
What's up, y'all?
I need to hear your list. Talk to me. Pick six. Where you at? Your top combination.
Pick six. I'm starting at six. Pick six. I've got Derek Carr and Dennis Allen, right?
Wow.
They are familiar with each other. Dennis Allen drafted Derek Carr. Chemistry. Derek Carr balled out his rookie year. Now you get him with Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, with a defensive-minded head coach and Dennis Allen. Probably going to be playing with some leads as well. So Derek Carr going to be able to shred some people up. We've seen him in the first preseason game. They kind of look a little bit unstoppable.
I'm okay with your five. We'll address that later, man. So we'll address that later. Five makes sense, obviously.
Yes, absolutely. Mike McCarthy, put some respect on his name. I've been telling y'all. I mean, come on, best record in the NFC since Coach Mike came over there to the Dallas Cowboys. That's called changing that thing around over there. Dak Prescott, y'all already know I'm a believer in. They're going to get it done.
How do you have a combination with Robert Saleh when Robert Saleh is a losing head coach?
Well, that's because he didn't have Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about quarterback head coach combination. He didn't have the future Hall of Fame quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. And last time Robert Saleh was on a team where they was playing with some leads, he had a big time.
You know what I realized?
And that's why the Jets hired him.
You know what I realized?
He's going to be playing with some leads with Aaron Rodgers.
This isn't pick six. This was pick your friend.
No.
Because you played with Derek Carr. You played for Mike Mike McCarthy. You played with Aaron Rodgers. This is just pick your homeboys.
It's just good matchups right there. Good defensive coordinator, very good quarterback. Good defensive coordinator, great quarterback.
Okay,
get to
number three, please.
And then we know Burrow, Taylor. I mean, we see that year after year after year. I mean, the way they design the stuff up, the playmakers that he has over there, Chase, Higgins, Boyd, all those boys over there going to work, they're going to be in the mix again. They just know what they're doing.
Lastly.
And Sirianni Hurts, right? You said, went to a Super Bowl, then you add him more weapons.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is only going to grow under Sirianni and this offense. Don't be surprised if you see them boys in another Super Bowl. And then, like you said, numero uno, enough is said.
That's Andy easy, Reed, America.
Patty Mahomes.
That's easy. Let's head to the desk, Jay. Let's head to the desk. 2-5, you played for all the great quarterback coach combinations. You can go back to Andy Reid, Mike Vick. You can fast forward to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. You can cut to Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. You also played with Josh Allen, Sean McDermott. Quite literally everywhere you went was a phenomenal quarterback coach combination.
I've been pretty blessed.
And you got two rings to show for it. Thank you, Lord. 2-5, best combination, obviously, outside of Mahomes.
I'm going to go Nick Sirianni. And Jalen Hurts. Huh? I know you're going to say I'm biased, but let's think about it for a second. Jalen had some shaky years early. Sirianni stayed with him. Sirianni's a winning coach, right? And I think that the success he's having is him and Jalen together. First year, they go to the playoffs, right? Sirianni's first year, go to the playoffs. Second year, go to the Super Bowl. Third year, I don't know. We're favored to win the NFC again. Maybe another Super Bowl. So I just look at how they work together, right? And I look at Jalen's development. Ain't that by surprise? Mm-hmm. Now, granted, he is a coach's son. I think coach's sons are different when it comes to playing sports. But when you have a coach that believes in you, right, and he sticks behind you no matter what happens, you see the results. I think a lot of his development with Jalen Hurts has a lot to do with Nick Sirianni working with him.
The only reason I didn't have them hire Joy is because Nick Sirianni without Jalen Hurts, I don't know how good he is individually. Shady brought up great points. It might be a moot point because we're talking about combinations, obviously. Yeah. But when I
saw they're growing together, though.
It's a phenomenal point.
That's right.
But I see the Cowboys, I think, are like 5-1 with Cooper Rush, without Dak Prescott. So I'm like, you know what, McCarthy? I trust you individually, like isolated. When I saw what the Eagles were without Jalen Hurts last year with Gardner Minshew, who by all accounts should be better than Cooper Rush, has more playing experience, been a starter. I was like, I was disappointed. Like, I was actually disappointed with Sirianni without Jalen Hurts.
But the question was
the combos.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And Sirianni in his career, right? In the 2 years, he's what, 22-8?
Yeah.
I would take that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Second year going to the Super Bowl?
No doubt.
You would take that too.
Of course.
Come on.
Of course.
Hard to do. Hard to do.
I got to go with Hurts and Sirianni too. Now, I went off of the most recent, that, like, I think we all have a different explanation for our pick six criteria. Looking at it, talking to you, James. Because historically speaking, I would put Burrow and Taylor there. If we're looking at two. Okay. Yes, but I'm using my own criteria of the most recent. I can't ignore the fact that Jalen Hurts was an All-Pro last year and that they were in the Super Bowl. Well, obviously, there's a reason we're ranking number two because Reed and Mahomes. There's no point in discussing, obviously. So to me, it's Hurts. If it's the most recent historically, I would go Burrow and Taylor. But I'm gonna go ahead and just change the course of this conversation because I was a little confused. I keep looking at these lists. We're done with Josh Allen and McDermott.
I love that matchup. I love them too. I've been there with them. It's a great combination.
Well, Shady and I only didn't give our list. We only gave two.
Yeah, we wasn't.
We talking to y'all two. Yeah. Y'all two.
Player.
Are the ones who made these lists. I didn't give my list. So why no Allen and
I have my reasons.
McDermott.
What's the reason? I want to know.
My strongest reason, and I don't know if this will check out. I guess all of my list, you see offensive coach, you see quarterback, because obviously quarterbacks are offensive players. So you won't see on my list a defensive coach with a quarterback. Because
got a defensive coach up there.
Harbaugh. Special teams coach.
Special teams.
He is.
It is different because when I think about, I'm all about relationships.
Yeah.
Even if you're being honest, special teams coach, you brought up Harbaugh, special teams coach actually talks to more players than anybody outside the head coach.
That is true.
So I don't have McDermott, Allen there, just because I don't think, great relationship. Not bad relationship, but I just don't think like that McDermott will unlock the key to Josh Allen. Where you at, Jay?
For me, I think Josh Allen, number one, when you watch Josh Allen play, he led the league in interceptions this year.
Mm-hmm.
Shady, you got me. I know Shady don't like me talking about Josh Allen. He led the league in interceptions. I don't see nothing that the head coach did to help the quarterback out.
right? We seen the Dallas Cowboys get rid of their offensive coordinator, put the keys in Coach Mike's hands to try to help his quarterback out. They did nothing last year to help the quarterback out, and that quarterback was playing extremely bad football when you talk about turning the football over.
Josh Allen led the league in turnovers,
And none of that has changed. So all those dudes I got up there, hey, didn't turn the ball over that many times.
I feel like I can see this. I feel like there's some sneaky suspicions of things that we're going to be talking about all year and where I'm going to land. I feel like I'm going to be the one that's like, we're jumping off this bandwagon too quick, guys. I know we have a little bit of Bills fatigue, but...
Are you still on it?
How could I not be? Like, this is Josh Allen
and
Sean McDermott, who have won the division the last 3 years in a row. I might be shorting them a year. He's playing the AFC Championship game.
But he's going in the wrong direction. Like, that's how I'm not. If someone were to say, how could you not be?
Zach and McCarthy have not gotten past the second round of the playoffs.
This is crazy.
We know that because the Cowboys haven't gotten past the second round of the playoffs in 28 years.
But wouldn't you say they're going in the right direction?
Yes.
By doing the same thing that they... I say they're going in the same direction because... Which is nowhere, because they literally did the same thing, losing to the same team.
But they're different. Remember, last year they got bounced in the first round. Mm-hmm. This year they won the first round, got bounced in the second round. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, the Bills got to the AFC Championship game. 2 years ago, the Bills lost on the road. This year, the Bills lost at home.
So we're just talking about, like, recently you think that Dak and McCarthy are better than Allen and McDermott.
I do.
But why? Why? Because one team is more talented than the other team, right? And... the Cowboys don't do nothing. And they do the same thing every year. They lose to the same team actually every year in the playoffs. Every time. So I just want to know why. Why do you guys...
I mean, once again, if you think about the fact that the Cowboys Dak and McCarthy are 19-9 over the last 2 years. Now, the Bills are really good as well. But I'm talking about trajectory. Like, when I think about these teams the last 3 years, 3 years ago, Dak Prescott was hurt. 2 years ago, the Cowboys won 12. Last year, the Cowboys won 12. Cowboys have won 12 games in back-to-back seasons for the first time, I believe, since the Barry Switzer era. So I'm looking at the Cowboys trending upwards. I'm looking at the Bills trending downwards. I'm looking at Josh Allen. He hasn't corrected the mistakes he's made since the 2020 playoffs against the Houston Texans when he lost his mind in the fourth quarter. Like, my reason.
You can sit there and say that with an honest look on your face about Josh Allen turning the ball over, but you ain't say a word about the other guy. The guy led the league in picks last year.
You said so much about it.
This is crazy. It's like, I gotta be, you know what?
Josh Allen led that thing in turnovers, but at the same time, we're talking about coach.
That's not true. That's not true.
Josh led the league
say
in turnovers.
Say it again.
Josh led the league in turnovers.
So we're talking about turnovers in general.
Yes, okay, fumbles, okay, interceptions. Okay. He led the league in turnovers last year, right? And then you talk about a head coach. A lot of people be forgetting how great of a head coach Mike is. Mike won a chip. Sean McDermott ain't got no chip. We talking about coach-player combination, right? And Coach Mike is taking over this play calling, a guy that has won a chip. I truly believe they need to be up there above Josh Allen and them because I've been in the offense that Mike McCarthy is about to call this place for Dak. We'll see Dak succeed in this offense
and not
turn the ball over the way he turned the ball over this year.
Years ago, I guess.
That's why I'm taking
you play wide receiver, you didn't play, you retired years ago, but I guess if they asked you to go out in the field, you could do it again, right? It's like riding a bike.
Red zone only.
I get it. You're talking about the guy who called plays years ago.
You don't think McCarthy can still call these plays?
I mean,
do you? I don't know.
He was calling plays
years ago.
Who was throwing the ball when he was calling plays?
Aaron Rodgers.
And how much... hold up. Last thing. That's a great point because y'all know from playing a game where if you have a quarterback like an A-Rod where you give him more leeway to do your thing. I might call a play, but you know what? You got it. You got an A-Rod. With Dak, I don't think he's giving him all that type of control. Because if he does, you guys know the results.
He just told you Mike 5-1 with Cooper Rush.
Man. You see that team?
Like, you see that team?
But I'm saying, we're talking about
see that team?
Quarterback combo.
Correct. But here's the other thing, though, Shady. This is the first year in a long time, be honest, that you would say the Cowboys have a better roster than the Bills. This year is where the pendulum swung.
Last year, they were more talented.
I wouldn't say last year.
Why not?
No,
tell me why not.
Because last year, CeeDee Lamb is not an all-pro yet. Last year, CeeDee Lamb, how good is he going to be?
Wait, talking about. The year this passed, he was all-pro. He was really, really good. He was a good wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you look at the Cowboys team compared to the Bills,
Von Miller, we talked about Von Miller, he was hurt. He didn't play.
Correct. I'm saying this time last year, we would have said the Bills roster.
Yeah, but
roster.
We know the results that last
right. year. We know the results.
We, of course, we wouldn't have. We might have argued
that, Cowboys
but
ultimately,
now we know
the Cowboys ultimately ended up having a better roster due to Micah Hyde being injured with a neck injury, due to Von Miller getting hurt, et cetera.
Right. I mean, that counts, though. So, injuries count.
That's what happened.
So really quick, who would you guys take off of Acho's list to put Josh Allen in him?
I would take Lawrence and Peterson off that list, yeah. For sure.
I'm up. Yeah. Yeah. Hold up.
And I love Doug, and I think that Doug they will be better this year.
Over there and did in the trending. First year.
I agree, but I'm not going to ignore what Josh like Allen and McDermott have done
But Doug,
we don't even know if the Jets are going to win the division. Like, what are we talking about here? I just want Bills Mafia. I want this noted, okay? Just for the record, that I think this is a little reactionary. I think we're a little tired of picking Josh Allen of winning in the MVP. I think we're a little tired of them picking them to make it to the Super Bowl. I'm not jumping off the bandwagon this early. It's feeling like hot in there.
Doug's great. I'm gonna leave Doug on there because Doug is really, really good.
So off of Acho's list, who are you taking?
I'm taking off them Cowboy guys, them Cowboys, them Stars. I'm taking them off.
That's fair.
Take that.
I won't argue that.
So Coach Mike winning a chip, Coach. Player combination means nothing? Because I'm just saying Sean McDermott ain't been there.
We talking about right now.
Right now.
You talking about years ago? When was that? 2011?
It don't
Hold on. No, it does matter. We talking about 2011. You know what I was doing in 2011?
What you was doing?
See what I'm saying? I don't even know. I don't remember. But we talking about 2011. We talking about right now, brother. Right now.
You keep bringing up them getting beat in the playoffs. The Bills get beat in the playoffs. So why are you taking them off? That's what I'm saying. What's your argument taking them off the list?
But the Bills also got beat in the AFC Championship game.
3 years ago.
By who?
3 years ago.
And the Cowboys have not seen an NFC Championship game in 20 years.
But we can't be bragging about teams getting beat, though.
Yes.
Like,
they both get beat.
They both get beat.
They both get beat.
They both get beat.
We'll take them both off.
Right now. Hold on.
Time out.
Time out. We saying a lot of things right now. All right. I just want to make sure for clarity purposes.
Yeah, right.
Y'all picking.
Pick one.
Y'all are picking Dak Prescott as a better quarterback than Josh Allen.
Oh,
I will leave the
coach combination.
Okay. Yeah. Let me get there. So Mike McCarthy, it has to be. As that much better yes. than McDermott,
correct.
As Josh Allen is better than Dak Prescott.
Correct. That's where I am.
And that's enough to move Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy over Josh Allen and McDermott.
Yeah. Wait. So Josh Allen is a way bigger margin better than Dak Prescott compared to Sean McDermott and McCarthy, right?
I believe the gap between McCarthy and McDermott is as sizable as the gap between Josh Allen and Dak.
Can I ask you a question? Because I don't know if you guys forgot, but you know the Cowboys, he's a head coach, right? He's not an offensive coordinator, he's a head coach. They were the most penalized team for a couple years ago.
We talking about W's, though.
But as a coach, right? As a coach, does that matter?
It absolutely matters.
Oh, okay. Because Sean McDermott's team, they're going to be prepared. They're going to be prepared. And they ain't going to have them type of issue.
Prepared to lose in the
playoffs. I'm just saying.
Talk Cowboys.
W's, though.
I'm just saying.
Coach Mike has more W's.
As a coach, I need my team to be prepared and be smart. Come on.
Shady's
the
penalty.
If you still have some penalties and finding ways to win, kudos to the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't like penalties.
Take them both off.
He's talking penalties.
Yeah, take them out. I want Cowboy guys off.
Hey, college football fans, this is RJ Young, host of Fox Sports' number one college football show. The biggest names, the biggest games, the theme is we do it big on this here thing. Please subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, y'all, it's time for Hurry Up. Okay, we got to get to it. Trevor Lawrence, he's entering his third season, and the bar is high for the former number one overall pick. His head coach, Doug Peterson, compared him to great quarterbacks from the past who make others better, saying, quote, he's one of them guys. Real simple, he's one of them guys. James, I'm all in on Trevor Lawrence here. Yeah. I believe that Trevor Lawrence will be a part of the MVP conversation because I love Trevor Lawrence's talent, and more importantly, I love who he's connected with in Doug Peterson. Yeah. Remember what Doug Peterson did for Carson Wentz their second year together. Carson Wentz was in that MVP conversation until he got hurt. Carson Wentz led the Eagles to a number one seed, if I am not mistaken. Then Nick Foles carried the baton to win a Super Bowl. I love how Doug Peterson develops quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Doug Peterson was developed by the great Andy Reid, a former quarterback for Andy Reid. So Doug Peterson knows best. Trevor Lawrence has a talent. He's got the talent around him, mm-hmm. and he also has the head coach. I think about talent, I think about team, I think about coach. Those three reasons is why I believe Trevor Lawrence can be in the MVP conversation. James, what say you?
Absolutely, and I don't see why. You add Calvin Ridley,
You have a really good year last year. You're in the second year with Coach Peterson, your offensive coordinator, right? You got Zay Jones. You got Christian Kirk. You got Ingram,
yep.
Right? You got ETN in the backfield running the football. He has everything around him, and he has the talent. Whether it's inside the pocket, whether it's outside the pocket, he can make every single throw. Listen, 2 years ago, wasn't nobody talking about Duval.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence has turned this team into a contender. I mean, they won a playoff game last year, right? They're going to be up in there for that division again this year. Like, Trevor Lawrence is going to take that next step with Doug Peterson this year, and he will be. I'm telling you, Shady, he will be in that MVP conversation.
Wow. How you know I would go against what
I
you said?
He's about to go against me, man.
I'll say this, though. Trevor Lawrence, I'm going to say no. My answer question, no. Mm. Everybody wants to say how great Trevor Lawrence is, right? And I think he's a good young quarterback. He's been highly recruited since high school. They told us that he's going to be the next this, the next that. Cool. He partnered up with a great coach in Doug Peterson. Mm-hmm. I play under Doug, so I know what type of coach he is. Really, really good. His success that Doug's had, I'm not surprised about it.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is with this quarterback is Clemson.
Yes, sir.
All the Clemson quarterbacks do really good in college.
Of course.
Right? They got all the best players with them, right? So they really do well.
Yep.
I need to see him do this in the NFL. Last year, he did well, right? He did pretty good. 4,100 yards, did good.
Mm-hmm.
25 touchdowns, something like that, 8 picks, pretty good. I mean, but since he's gotten in the league, he has the most interceptions in the league since he got here.
He ain't had no talent.
Hold on. Hold up, my brother. Hold on. That matters, though. I know in that seat, people don't care about picks. I do. As a
they
quarterback.
Don't care about turnovers neither because you don't bring them up.
So my thing with Trevor Lawrence is I got to see it more. I see there's times where the running game's not working, and he doesn't work. Where I see other quarterbacks where the running game's not working, they still ball out. I just need to see more of them. You talked about talent. He has so much talent with him. I just need to see more of Trevor Lawrence before I believe the hype that everybody else believes.
I just want to know this.
Sure, no,
why does turnovers and interceptions matter to everybody else but Josh Allen?
Why do you keep bringing his name up?
Because I'm saying
Josh
Trevor
Allen is what?
Trevor Lawrence has that type of talent.
Is he better than Josh Allen?
He has that
is
type
he,
of talent. I'm and he you, don't turn the ball I'm over like Josh again, Allen.
James?
Josh has came into the league, he has the most turnover. Shady?
James? Right? What they call you? James?
That's
JJ,
my
what they
name.
Call you?
JJ, okay. James.
Whatever you, want, you want to be called. Who's better than Trevor Lawrence and Josh Allen?
Josh Allen.
All right, so let's.
Well, when we talk
time out, brother.
You want to bring up turnovers.
I just want you to know this. When you speak about somebody being better, stay in your lane. Where I'm from, if you're not better than me, stay in your lane. And he's not better than Josh Allen, so I need you,
but Josh,
and
but
you,
you keep
and
saying,
Trevor Lawrence
no,
to stay in your
you
lane.
You keep saying Josh is so great, and he since he came in the league, he has led this league in turnovers.
The word of the day, stay in your
so
lane.
So why ain't Trevor Lawrence, with his ability and what he's done for Jacksonville, winning the playoff game last year, why does the turnovers matter for him?
Because the thing with Josh Allen is no matter who's there, he's going to get busy.
Okay, where are he going?
Hold on. This is not a Josh Allen conversation, and it will not be hijacked, Joy Taylor. Do you expect Trevor Lawrence to be in the MVP conversation? That's where we're at right now.
I mean, I can't go as far as to say expect, but I wouldn't be surprised. I do think he's going to take a step up this year. Not necessarily because of his ups and downs. Like his first year, whatever. It was a disaster. I gave him a pass on the first year. He looked good with Doug Peterson. He improved. But the biggest thing with Trevor Lawrence is they came back in that playoff game.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
How you finish the season matters to me. There's a reason why I have a lot of faith in some of these young quarterbacks to take a step up because of how they finish the season. Mm-hmm. But he can struggle a little bit. He's still young. And maybe because of how it started with him and the hype that we had for him coming in, it feels a little bit like, we should see more. It should have looked different.
Did they come back running the ball?
Mm-mm. No, I'm defending him.
Oh, he played great that game?
I apologize.
It was a big lead that he had to dig him out of.
Joey and James,
throwing the ball.
I apologize. He played great that game? I'm chirping. He played great that game?
There was a lot of turnovers.
He came back throwing the ball.
He played great that game?
He wanted to come back. Oh, okay. That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is I could see Trevor Lawrence, because of the talent that he has, taking a big step up this year. I can't see him winning an MVP because I think that would have to take an incredible regular season on top of insurmountable numbers, and I don't know if he's going to take that jump. I could see him being in the MVP conversation at some point throughout the season. I do think that they're going to win the division. And look, they won that playoff game last year. Like he now knows he's been at the lowest of the low in this league, and now he's had a high of winning a playoff game and coming back in that game despite the fact that he did struggle in that game.
I can only imagine how much better the Jags will be this year.
Oh, my
Like last year, Trevor Lawrence had no confidence because of the year before. Doug Peterson was just getting there. Press Taylor just getting there, offensive coordinator. Now Trevor Lawrence has a whole nother year with Doug Peterson. He's got more talent around him because Calvin Ridley, many have said he's a top five receivers coming back, which now allows Christian Kirk and Zay Jones to have to do less. Zay Jones had 830 yards last year, if I'm not mistaken, plus five touchdowns. So he's a capable number two and or number three. Travis Etienne, he was dealing with an injury his rookie year, if y'all remember. So now he has a healthy offseason. Like,
good, yeah.
I can only imagine what this 9-8 team will become. And if I'm being honest, I think that division is getting worse. I mean, you got to remember, the Texans are going to start a rookie in C.J. Stroud. He'll likely struggle.
Cole.
The Titans don't know what they're going to do with quarterback. Yep. They might end up starting a rookie, Will Levis. They might start the dude they drafted last year in the second round out of Liberty University, forgetting his name
Malik Willis.
Or they might start Tannehill. Yep. And then you said the Colts, they starting a rookie. Yep. So the Jags should clean house.
I just think, you know, it's not an issue with him. I think he's a really good young talent. I do think he's talented. But when I watch him, I see all the praise, and then I watch the tape. The tape I watched, it looks like he's being coached very, very well, right? I think they're safe with Trevor Lawrence a lot. I see a lot of screens.
Throws, though, Shane.
Hold on for a second. I see a lot of screens. I see a lot of different plays. But it's not a time like, damn, wow. He don't wow me. That's all I'm saying. He don't really wow me. So maybe it's tape that you've seen that I didn't see yet.
Yeah.
But I watch him a lot.
I'm
going
to show you.
We'll see. And then, we'll put it back real quick.
Some wild throws.
Can you give me your top three quarterbacks in the league?
Uh-huh. Not right now. We got to go.
Let's get the second and short second topic of the day. Now, things got testy at Cowboys training camp yesterday. And one of the incidents, Micah Parsons, he actually threw a punch at center Tyler Biadasz. Now, y'all watching it right there. Everybody gets in on the scene. Micah Parsons throwing one. Sam Williams steps in. Dak Prescott tries to alleviate some of the tension. Micah Parsons, he quoted yesterday, "I pushed myself to the greater good, and me pushing myself is only going to make them better at the end of the day. I don't care who I'm up against. I don't care if it's Tyron Smith, Zach Martin. If it's Tyler Smith, I'm going to beat the hell out of them. It's only going to make them better. This is where championships get started." James, you grinning a little too much for me on this. Where are you at with all of this? You got an issue with the fight?
Man, I absolutely love it. This is part of training camp, right? We all know when you wake up in the morning, I'm tired of seeing the same dude in front of me.
You're not wrong.
You know what I mean? He done pushed me once or twice last practice. And if he do that again this practice, it's going down. That's all it is. We used to that. When you're in the trench, especially, and you're banging against somebody every single day, you tired of seeing that person. And as for the starters, you don't play a lot in the preseason anyway, so you ain't really seen nobody yet. I'm tired of seeing the same people. I'm good with these fights. This happens in training camp. It's okay. As long as they dap it up in the locker room after and we good, he's right. This is how you build championships football teams right here.
You know what I hate? It's not even that I disagree with you. I hate that we try to act like fighting is a prerequisite to championship football. I just hate that so much. Shady, where you stand on it?
You don't like it?
I don't like that we act like you gotta fight to be a champion. Like, I don't mind this. I'll break down the issue I had with this after we hear from y'all.
I'm gonna say, I love it. I mean, this is part of football. Like, just think about this for a second. You put all these alpha males together, right? Put on equipment, and this is a tough man's game. I'm not saying basketball's not, but this is a tough man's game. We are trying to bang. We wanna hurt each other. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So to think that it's not gonna be a fight is crazy. Yeah, it's gonna be fights. Now, I only seen one. I wanted to see more. I remember going into camp, like, okay. For example, like, look, man, I'm in the meeting room with my guys. Bro, he got one more time.
You got one more.
That feeling.
You got one more.
Bro, he got one more time.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Man, you going to see.
Yeah.
And we'll sure enough what Parson do.
That's
he had
it.
That one more time.
That's it.
What you going to do, Parson? Yeah. You about to see. Wop, 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 wop. And that boy from Harrisburg, PA, that's how we get down. I don't know if you knew this, but I'm from the same city he from.
That's all.
And that's how we get down. So if you say something I don't like, we might.
That's okay. I'm from the Bay. We're going to be tussling.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean?
All good.
Speak out the dark. Let's get it.
I don't have a problem with it. I'm with you. I don't know if fighting leads to championships or not. I don't think it really means anything other than it's hot. You've been seeing
it
the same
hot
guys every day. Somebody did a little something, a little extra app, like just want to just doing something a little. You already irritated, and somebody just keep.
Yep. No doubt, yeah. And you're ready
this
to go home. You ain't even in your bed.
You haven't been in your bed. You know what I mean? Your routine. There's a lot you're missing.
Yeah,
camp,
they got you in this,
right?
Twin
this
bed.
Is like
yeah.
Irritated state.
No question.
And somebody keeps trying you. Mm-hmm. It's a collision sport. Y'all trying to bang. That's it. People are fighting for jobs, so maybe you're going up against somebody that's trying to, that you got your job. This guy's trying to make the team. He's doing all this extra stuff that you don't have to do because you're Micah Parsons or you're a starter or you just signed a contract. So you're just trying to get through camp healthy while this guy's trying to make the team. There's all these different dynamics with fights. At the end of the day, if you really are leaving that field with real animosity for that person, you ain't like them before camp started.
No doubt.
But not the only thing, though, Jay.
Before you go, though. Before you go, I do want to say this. You read that statement, right? I know where he's from now because that's where y'all from. But we all know Micah is a dog, right? And he's saying, I don't care who y'all are out here, right? I am coming to get y'all. I am trying to kill y'all at practice, right? Who the top dogs in the NFC? Eagles, Niners.
Yes, sir.
Dogs, physical, violent.
Yes.
Right? So this is the type of way that you get your team ready to go in training camp to face them dudes.
The only thing, and I don't think all camp fights are created equal. I'll break it down like that. I think you got some stupid camp fights. You got some real camp fights. Been a part of both. We all know what it is. To me, what I saw, the only issue I have is some of the stuff was cheap shots. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, y'all go ahead and let the jib take the big board. I'm just going to do it here from the desk. But some of the stuff was cheap shots because Sam Williams, if you'll see, he's the guy who ends up getting cheap shotted, and he cheap shots an individual later. So they're in one-on-ones right now. Boom. He don't like that, like Joy and James are talking about. That's that little extra push and that little extra tug. That's exactly what Joy. So now look, Sam Williams wasn't even going to hit the dude. He just goes up there like
he don't know that, though.
That's fine. But look, so now Biotis, number 63, he comes in, boom, level Sam Williams. There go to Marcus Lawrence. Yeah. Bam, bam, bam. Okay, cut two. Now you're going to see the Micah Parsons fight. I'm going to fast forward so y'all can really get to the good stuff. I don't want to waste your time there at home. Now, I'm going to pause it because after you see Micah there, Micah tussling at the bottom of the screen. Hold on. That's that same number 63. 63 is the same dude who cheap shot at Sam Williams. Y'all pay close attention because this ain't what people showed you. Now, look at what just happened. I'm gonna let y'all see another better angle of it.
Smacked.
I'm gonna see y'all let y'all see a better angle of it. I'm gonna let y'all see a better angle of it. Boom. Hey. There go 54.
Ooh, yeah.
That's the same 54 who got cheap shotted earlier. To me, James, this isn't building like a winning culture. This is hitting a dude in the back of the head, which is the easiest way to lead to somebody getting hurt. Like, that's just cheap shot. That was just dumb to me. Like, that's why you can bring us back on cam.
No, but no,
that was just like that stuff was dumb to me. The Parsons one, I'm good with. But those were dumb.
So the first one, they done stopped the fight, right? You know? And 54 was the one that got cheap shot, as you said, smacked on the ground. So they stopped the fight and broke it up. He ain't forget that. That's bro, that cheap shot at me. It's my turn, you know? So I'ma catch you slipping now. He caught me slipping. That's part of it. But I ain't worried about the camp fights, man. You need a little bit of that, man. We in twin beds out here in Oxnard, right? We trying to get back home. We ain't hitting nobody else. That's going to happen.
Shady. You getting fights?
They
can't?
Nobody really play with me like that, but I was smarter than, like, a lot of them dudes, so I'm not about to get my hand mixed up. Unless you do something to me. I will check you if you do something wrong. Like, I didn't like to be hit, you know what I'm saying, in practice. But listen, bro, I'm going to be here. One thing you said is smart is that, like, yo, these dudes are out here trying to get a job.
Back.
Listen, Micah, we get it. You got your job. Ain't a lot of money.
Yeah,
where
you safe.
Yeah.
But there's some dudes that's fighting for a job.
Yeah.
They got three kids.
I remember my rookie year, I'm with the Cleveland Browns, 6th-round pick. So ain't nothing guaranteed. Ain't nothing safe. You never know what it is. I'm going up against a vet. It's special teams. You know what I'm saying? I'm going up a vet. Y'all don't know, but I will bring it to y'all's information. Usually there's like an unspoken agreement in practice. No. Especially like you remember Chip Kelly used to make us do tackling drills, running backs, linebackers, like 5 yards apart, trying to get into the goal line. Chris Polk, I would always go up against. I was like, hey, make a loud thud sound, grunt a little bit, and then just like whoever wins. So, just like, hey, don't nobody get hurt. I'm in Cleveland, my rookie year, going up against a 6-year vet. I'm going hard. He's like, okay, Acho. That's all I said.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like that today, Acho? Okay. I didn't know what that meant. You know what I'm saying? I'm a rookie.
Oh, yeah?
That's it.
No doubt.
So, y'all are right. There are some people who trying to make the team, and there's some cats that's already on the team. But that was my only issue with it, though, Jay.
Yeah.
Is like, if it gets cheap, if it gets stupid.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because that's how people get hurt. I mean, that's how somebody fall into somebody's legs and all that. So, I understand that. But we all know. I played on the perimeter. Perimeter is different than the trenches. The trenches, you banging every play. I was good with C-Wood. C-Wood, we good, boom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Al Harris, we good. You know, but in the trenches, it ain't no we good. You know what I'm saying? And you play in the trenches running the ball, but them offense and defensive linemen, that's different at practice.
And
banging every single day. You going to get chipped.
I do think that. Now, I don't think fights equals success. But I think when fights happen between the big boys, it means something.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Because I need my boys to be mean.
Yeah.
Oh, they hit me, my player late or they hit my quarterback late? I need you. Yeah, it's going to be a fine. We're going to pay it. But you need to pay that dude back.
Yep.
So when the big boys is getting into it like that, that can ultimately mean that might be some championship football right there.
I tried to break a dude's arm at practice because the way them, bruh, in Philly, because if old linemen start holding, like you're talking about in the trenches, outside it's pretty, it's neat, it's cute, that's fine. But in the trenches, he's near holding. So one time I just put him in a quick arm bar and I just tried to go until it snapped. I mean, I'm just sitting there like just pressing, pressing.
This is very dark.
I bet he didn't hold me again.
But check this out, though. Who is the closest position group on the football team?
O-line, D-line.
Easy O-line.
O-line, D-line.
Yeah. Right? So them O-line, they going to ride for each other. I have never seen just one O-lineman out there chunking them.
Never.
Every single one of them is going to run.
Even them years y'all was bad at the Raiders, even the bad, bad years.
If it's O-line, and you can bring the Raiders up, that's all good. If it's O-line,
you see how even I go.
The year y'all was 0-11, y'all ain't.
I don't remember what you're talking about. I just know I've been in the playoffs a bunch.
Take your seats, family. It's time to head into the film room with my dog, James Jones. Okay, now look, the Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy, he's going to be calling plays this year. Not only that, he's going to be empowering Dak Prescott a little bit more at the line of scrimmage. So James and I just quickly wanted to talk about what that might be able to do and how that might be able to help the Cowboys offense. My favorite play as it pertains to an audible out the line of scrimmage was this one last year. It's not actually Dak Prescott, it's Cooper Rush. First thing I want y'all to see, down in distance. James, what's down in distance right there?
Down in distance, third and long. Third and 12.
You see, it's third and 12. What's that usually mean? It's got to be a pass. Except Cooper Rush has been told during the week of practice, hey, if you see a certain look, just one high safety, and you see that they're going to be bringing pressure, then I want you to call an audible, Cooper Rush. I'm going to fast forward a little bit so y'all can see a little bit of Cooper Rush's hand motions. Yep. Cooper Rush is calling an audible at the line of scrimmage. Now I'm going to run it back. After you see him call it audible, what beats inside pressure is outside run. He's audibled at the line of scrimmage to an outside run. He has been empowered to make that decision. And now they run outside run. You got CeeDee Lamb, he seals. First round pick Tyler Smith, he pulls on that safety. And on third and 12, because of Cooper Rush's ability at the line of scrimmage to make that check, Cowboys get a first down.
Absolutely.
You know Mike McCarthy well. You played for Mike McCarthy. Yeah. Y'all did similar things when you were in Green Bay, correct?
Absolutely. And listen, if I'm shady, I love this call, right? If I'm a receiver, I hate this call, right? Okay. Because we speak about to be empty, which this is empty. You see everybody coming off coverage, right? We are trying to get out here. That's why he checked this right here. Get a toss, get to the edge. You know the quickest way to the edge, right? Is just throw it out here to the number one wide receiver.
Break that down for me. So another option could have simply been throwing it hot right now to Noah Brown.
Absolutely. So you see Noah Brown down here. You see the cornerback way off. He off about 10 yards, right? So this is the extension of the run game. This is what Mike McCarthy's offense is going to bring, right? It's not just run it runs, right? You have options off of the run game.
And you've been a beneficiary of this. I believe this is Aaron Rodgers 2014. This cornerback is guarding you. You are off screen right here, lined up. How far away is that cornerback from you?
He's about 5-6 yards off right here. And right here in the huddle, we got 36 outside zone on. And Aaron knows if the cornerback is 5-6 yards off, instead of running my running back into the teeth of the defense, you know what? I'm going to get it out here to JJ. And I'm going to turn it into one-on-one, an extension of the run game. If he picks up five, a five-yard run is good. But instead, you get it out to your dog, and he turns it into a tink-tink. We call that tink-tink touchdown. That's what we do. And that's an extension of the run game. And that's what Dak Prescott is going to be in this season. He's going to be able to line up and say, I have a run call, but I have extensions off of the run game to where I can get the ball out to CeeDee Lamb fast like this, gallop like this. I can get the ball out to my guys to make some plays, an extension of the run game. You know what that does for the quarterback, Acho?
What's that?
Play a whole lot faster.
Whole lot faster, whole lot more confident. So what you're telling me is right now this is a run call to the right.
This is run call to the right. You see John Kuhn in the backfield. He finna lead block. Ryan Grant, 36 outside zone. This is a run. Aaron looks over at me. He sees the cornerback off a little bit. Boom. Built-in smoke route on the backside of every run to make sure if we could get one-on-one, with a receiver and a corner, and that corner got to tackle them 90% of the time, it ain't going to happen. And it equals big plays. And if we can get 10 yards, 7 yards, and end up in second and third and three, that's an extension of the run game. Big time offense, first down equals touchdown.
Appreciate y'all joining us in the film room. Let's join the squad at the desk. Shady McCoy. You have seen quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. You have played with Super Bowl champs who have more freedom than anybody at the line of scrimmage outside of maybe Peyton Manning. But Dak Prescott been given more responsibility. Do you trust Prescott with more responsibility?
I don't trust it. I really don't. I watched last year how he was a turnover machine, right? And I think with this type of team, with the type of talent they have on offense and defense, you turn that ball over, I think you're wasting that talent. Right, and it's only so long where you keep that group of talent together without having to pay. I gotta get, they go on the free agency to get paid, or they can't stay. So I just think that with Dak Prescott, I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's great. I think that they could win with him depending on how he controls that ball. And if you give him too much control of the offense, I'm scared that next year or this year we'll see the same thing that happened last year.
You confident in Josh Allen running the show though?
Why you got to do that?
We were on the track. He quickly brought
don't
up turnover.
So that doesn't need to be answered. That doesn't need to be. Don't take the bait.
Josh is in his top three, so I can't argue with him.
Don't take the bait.
It's top three.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. Because we make the argument for a lot of guys that don't lose games. Like the value of not losing games. We talked about guys like Daniel Jones not losing games. Guys like Brock Purdy not losing games. You can have and show the ability to win big-time games, which Dak Prescott has done. But he's also shown the ability to lose big-time games in his own hands. So it's not that I don't think that a change in offense might benefit him. But the idea that you're expanding things, that you're making things more edgy, that you're giving him more to process, when we saw last year that he was turning the ball over at a high level, and whatever you want to defend about the number of interceptions during the regular season, we said it. Is it going to matter? Is it going to matter? And guess what it did? It mattered. It mattered in the game that mattered the most. So I just hesitate to get to this idea that he's going to be better by having more to do. Mm-hmm. His best version was when? When he had the least rookie amount of control. Yeah. And say, now, obviously, he's developed past his rookie abilities, but that doesn't mean that that's what's best for the team. We just had an argument about statistics and winning and who's putting up bigger numbers and arm talent, all that. The Cowboys need Dak to not lose games. They have so much talent on both sides of the ball. They have a lot of experience. They have a lot of Super Bowl-level experience with coaching. Just don't mess up. Make the calls correctly. So I struggle with the idea of more responsibility.
James, the reason I'll actually say, like, I trust Dak with more responsibility is if you're looking at Dak Prescott's talent level, physical talent only, he's a bottom 15, maybe bottom 10 quarterback in the National Football League, physical talent only. So how in the world does he win so much? Clearly, he's doing something right that isn't physical to help him have back-to-back 12-win seasons. Obviously, Dak has been hurt for some of those games. Help him have a 13-win rookie season. Like, clearly, there's something good that he's doing because his arm's not the greatest and he's not the greatest runner. So what he's doing right more often than not is going on is between the ears. Mental fortitude, determination, grit, will to win, and then obviously his football instincts. So I trust them accentuating what he does best because he's not the best runner. He's not the best thrower. Yeah. I trust his mind.
You think that now that Moore's gone, right, and McCarthy's calling the plays, you think he'll have a better year this year?
Yes. Yes.
You think so? Do you think so?
I do.
Statistically, I think so.
You think so? I'm just going to put these in my notes. So I just want to know.
No, I do.
I think Kellen Moore is a really good... I don't know. I actually would say no statistically. I think he might go down statistically. But I actually think that would be a good thing.
Only reason
like
I say...
Like, they had the number one offense. They had all these statistics. And what did it come down to?
Only reason I thought Moore was a really, really good coach. But I could be wrong.
No, I agree. No, he is. Kellen Moore is amazing. Reason I say yes statistically, Dak Prescott has more talent at wide receiver than he's ever had. And it's not close.
Yeah.
Remember, Dak Prescott had an older Dez Bryant and had a very old Jason Witten and Cole Beasley in the slot. Slot receivers can only get so busy. Also, Dak will be tasked to do more because he no longer has Zeke plus Pollard. He has Pollard off a broken leg. So I think statistically, Dak will probably eclipse 5,000 yards because he's healthy going into the season, and he got the dog.
Not only that, Dak has guys on the outside that can get busy.
right? I played in Coach Mike's offense for 8 years, right? With Aaron Rodgers, with Matt Flynn, whoever stepped in there, right? And nothing really changed. We went to work on the outside. The main thing with Coach Mike's offense is the ball comes out of the quarterback's hands extremely fast, and it allows your playmakers on the outside to make plays. Kellen Moore's offense was, to get an explosive gain, I have to throw it 30 yards down the field. No, you don't. To get an explosive gain is dumping the ball out here to CeeDee Lamb on a bubble screen, dumping the ball out here to Gallup on a little smoke screen, and letting them be who they are. And yes, it might not look like Dak is lighting it up, throwing the ball down the field, but when you look at the numbers, the yak yardage that the receivers get, his numbers are going to go up. He's going to play a whole lot faster. The ball's going to come out of his hands, and I am perfectly fine with him having more control. It is only going to benefit Dak Prescott. When he gets out there and sees exactly what the defense is in and what they are doing, he's able to audible and check into these plays to make sure he plays faster, and the ball is coming out of his hands, whether it's runs or passes. So he's going to benefit off Coach Mike. I think his numbers go way up. I think his interceptions go down, and I think he has a really, really, really good year.